In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, I invite you to stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. And most of you probably can quote it by memory. It's Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. And this is known as the Great Commission passage. And it reads as follows. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Father, speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Make disciples is what Jesus spoke to his disciples before he left them. He gave them a command, a charge. Make disciples of all nations. His goal was saying to them, hey, I want you to continue to tell the message to everyone you come in contact with. Let them know that there is a better way. Let them know that there is victory. Let them know there is forgiveness and it's found in me. It says, go make disciples. Now, when we think about disciples, we got to think about what is a disciple? Disciple, simply a follower of someone, a student of another person. And so Jesus is telling his disciples to make other followers or students of him. Now I want to submit to you, and this is very simple, my points are very simple today. In order to make disciples, you must first be a disciple. That's the first point. In order to make disciples, you must first be a disciple. Now we get there from verse 16 when he says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. Jesus is directing his disciples to meet him, to follow him, to meet him on the mountain. So disciples are now to follow Jesus to a designated point to get some instruction. So he tells them, meet me on the mountain, his 11 disciples. So in order for us to be a disciple, we must first be a disciple to make disciples. You cannot make what you are not. You cannot make what you are not. And you will duplicate who you are. You will duplicate who you are in the life of other people. And I want to say to you that Christianity is about our response to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Christianity is about responding to the person and work of Jesus Christ in the world. Now I want you to understand that the biblical response to Jesus Christ is repentance and faith to the reign and rule of God over every area of our lives. When Jesus came preaching in Mark, he told them, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So he encouraged them to repent, to turn in a different direction and follow him, and to leave the way they were living and now begin to follow him, a disciple. Jesus calls for you and I to follow him. Now, I think what we have mistaken, and I really think in a Western mindset, what we tell people most of the time, we ask people this, do you believe in Jesus? People say, yeah. I want you to know that it says in America that 80% of Americans profess to be Christians. If you ask them this, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Now, you and I both know that's not true. I mean, we know just by living and just by the people we come in contact with, everybody who named the name of Jesus does not believe in Jesus. Now, but when they say that, when we say the word believe, they think, okay, I know facts about Jesus. I know the facts. I know he was born a virgin. I know that he was born in Bethlehem. I know that he died and rose again. So I believe those facts. But then it stops there, because those facts do nothing in my life. They're just facts. Those facts don't change anything about me. It doesn't reorient my thinking, my life. I just keep living like, yeah, I know he did that, but that was great. I believe in Jesus, but I'm not really following him. And I want you to understand that Jesus is not looking just for people who believe in him. He's looking for disciples. He said, go and make disciples. Go and make followers of me. Go and make people who are going to repent, they're going to place their faith in me, and they're going to allow me to reign and rule in their lives. So there are many people who say they believe in Jesus, but Jesus Christ is not ruling in their lives. He's not leading their life. They're the captain of their own ship. It's not Jesus. And in short, what we have done in our culture, we have given people fire insurance. Just in case you die, you got some insurance. In case your house burned down, you got some insurance. You're in good hands with Allstate. But you can live any way you want to. You don't have to follow Jesus. It's amazing. I'm reading a book by Francis Chan called Multiply, and he says that it's amazing that would that make any sense that Jesus said to disciples, go and make disciples, but tell them they don't have to do anything. They don't have to reorientate their life. I'm not expecting anything from them. They don't have to even change their lifestyle. Just believe in me and do nothing. Now, we would say, what is that, right? And yet, our churches are full of that, or our society is full of people who will say, yeah, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But then when you search closely in their lives, they're not following Jesus. He's not reigning and ruling in their lives. Jesus told his 11 disciples to meet him on the mountain. And he gave them instruction. He was clear. Make disciples. And I'm telling you, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, it leads to a new orientation of thinking and living. Of thinking and living. Romans 12 says, Paul says to the Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. He says, and no longer be what? Conformed to this world. But be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Why? So that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He says to the Roman Christians, once you begin to follow Jesus Christ, you are to surrender your life totally to him, and you are to change the way you think, and then when you change the way you think, you will live differently, and you will prove to the world what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You are standing out in a crowd. Most Christians don't stand out. They're plain. They're bland. No one wants to be like you because you don't stand out. There's no courage. There's no conviction. There's no victory in life. In order to make disciples, you must first be a disciple. And it happened to me in my life. I tell people all the time, When I was an unbeliever, I became a Christian at 25, E5 in the Navy. But before I became a Christian, I used to always look at Christians. I'm telling you, I did not respect them because I believed more in what I did than they did. I knew I wasn't a Christian. I let them know, no, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in that. I'm not going to your church. I don't do that. And those who invited me to come to their church was living worse than I was. I didn't respect them. I said, because if you wouldn't believe that, what you say you do, you wouldn't be living like this. What has Jesus done for you because he didn't transform your life? He's just like me. Why should I believe in your God because I'm looking at you like I don't even respect you? You're cheating on your wife. You're doing those things. Why would I want to be a part of that? But fortunately, I met someone who really was a Christian, that didn't just say, well, we're not a Sunday morning Christian, was an every week, 7 day, 24/7 Christian, and I saw something different. Now, was he perfect? No, he was not, but he was consistent in what he believed. He was consistent. I knew where he stood. I knew he loved Jesus Christ. I knew that he wanted to share his faith, and I said, man, there's something different about this person. He really believes what he's saying. And that intrigued me. And I wanted to know more because I knew inside of me I was missing something. And God used him to share the light to say, you need what he has. That's what God wants us to do. And most people do not want what we have because they don't see it. Christ is not attractive to them because we don't let the light of Christ shine through us. We must first be disciples. We need to obey Jesus. He told them, meet me on the mountain, and they came to the mountain. He said, meet me here. They came, and they worshiped him, but some doubted. But they came, doubts and all. What about you? Are you a disciple? Has the gospel transformed your life? Because I submit to you that the gospel has not transformed your life, you don't have the real gospel. You don't have the real gospel. If it hasn't transformed you, you don't have the real gospel. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ transforms lives from the inside out. And it makes us stand out. It makes people take notice and say, that person is a follower of Jesus. And that's what God wants. He wants disciples. We want to be like Jesus. He stood out in the crowd. They knew who he was. They knew what he stood for. He said, I come not to do my will, but my Father's will. Are you a disciple? You can't make a disciple unless you are a disciple. How do you become a disciple? Repentance and faith. You must recognize that without Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Without Jesus Christ, you do not have salvation. I make that clear. I make it plain here. We don't believe that all roads go to God. No, it does not. All roads do not lead to heaven. There's only one road to lead to heaven. And it has Jesus' name on it. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. There are two roads. There's a narrow road. It's difficult, but it leads to life. There's a wide and broad road, and many people are on that road, and it's easy. But it's leading to death. There are people on the wrong highway. But the good news is, in God's highway, he allows a U-turn. You can repent and come to faith in Jesus Christ. These 11 came to Jesus because they were his disciples. He gave them a mission. Make disciples. So we must first be disciples. After we are disciples, we must practice spiritual discipline. Point two, we must make disciples. We must make disciples. I want you to understand this. Making disciples is a program. It is a lifelong mission of our lives. It's not a program of the church. It's our mission. We exist for no other reason but to make disciples. That's the mission of any church, of Jesus Christ Church. The mission is to make disciples. And if that is not in a church's mission statement, you better watch out. It's about making disciples. And the Great Commission emphasizes his own discipleship. It says, go, make disciples. The emphasis is on discipleship. Go make followers of me. Go make people who not only believe in me, but follow me. Go and make disciples. That's the emphasis. We have many people who have prayed a prayer and yet never darkened the doors of a church again. Are they disciples? They get baptized, but never darken the doors of a church, never live for God. Are they really disciples? Is that what Jesus died for? No, he did not. So we make disciples. Why do we make disciples? Why do we do that? Because we love Jesus. But look at verse 18. I love this. When Jesus said, and Jesus came and said to them, some authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. He didn't say some, did he? He says what? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So when we sing that song, you reign, that's true. He reigns over everything. He reigns. He says, all authority has been given to me. Go therefore. Because of the authority that is in me, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Go. Make disciples. And what he tells his disciples, he says, as you are going, make disciples. Now, he was talking directly to his 11. But also, he was talking to the church at large. Because people said, well, he was only talking to the apostles. They're the only ones that's called to make disciples, not us. Now, what we have done in churches, if we're not careful, we have almost left discipleship up to what we call the professionals, the clergy. We have. Most churches, in their minds, say, hey, listen, I show up, I get my praise on, I put a little money in the offering pot, and I go back to my business, and that pastor better fill that church up. Because I'm paying him to do that. That's his job. That's not biblical, though, is it? We're all called to make disciples. Go, therefore, and make disciples. And you don't have to be a pastor to make disciples. You have to be born again. This is for everyone to make disciples. You have been called, ordained to make disciples. Well, how do I make disciples? Who do I disciple? If you are a mother, say you stay at home mom, well, how do I disciple? You disciple your children to follow Jesus. If you know your Bible, you know that 1 and 2 Timothy was written by Paul to Timothy, who was a pastor in Ephesus. And if you know anything about his family, it says that Paul saw Timothy, and it says that Timothy was a young man, and it says that Paul took a liking to him because his grandmother and his mother had raised him in the faith, even though his daddy was a Greek, he was an unbeliever. So even though his daddy was an unbeliever, his mother said, I believe in God, and I'm going to raise you up to know Jehovah God. And he said that, and Paul says that this faith dwelled first in your grandmother and in your mother, and I'm sure that it's in you, and therefore it's in you, stir up the gift that God's given you. God used Timothy greatly because his mother and his grandmother told him about Jesus. So parents, the first place you start to make disciples is your children. You start there. Start in your own home. Make disciples of your own children. God has not given you children to have lookalikes. They have worker bees. Clean his house up. God has given you and I children to carry on his image in the earth. We are to disciple our children to know Jesus. Above anything else, we should disciple our children to know God. And men, talk to you for a minute. Be careful of what you pour into your children. Be careful of what you give your children, too much of this, not enough of this. See, if I'm going to earn in one area, I'm going to earn inside of Jesus. I'm going to give you all that the world has to offer you and not really give you Jesus. Because at the end of the day, I want my kids to know Jesus Christ. I don't care about them being a movie star or the greatest football player. That's all going to pass away. I want to give them something that's eternal. That's Jesus. They're truly rich then when they have Jesus. So be careful of what you give your children. Give them Jesus. And we have many men that are being good providers, good protectors, but they are not the pastors of their home. They're not pointing their children to Jesus. They point them to everything else but Jesus. And God has called us men to disciple our children. I'm going to say something else. God has called us men to disciple our wives. He's called us men to disciple our wives in Jesus. And if you're not leading your wife and your children to the throne of God, that's a problem. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you say, I believe in Jesus, your wife should know it, your children should know it, your neighbors should know it, because I believe what Paul says when he told that Philippian jailer, when he says, what must I do to be saved? He told him, listen, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved, you and your whole household. And what he was saying here, man, that you have so much influence over your wife and children, they're going to follow you. to Jesus. So I want my children to follow me to the throne room of Jesus, to the mercy seat. Because I want to leave a legacy for my grandchildren. And they can say, your granddaddy followed Jesus. And because of him, our family have a legacy of being Christians. I don't want to leave them a legacy saying, well, he left us some money, left us a little, you know, left us a house and a car, they're going to break down pretty soon. He gave us Jesus. Granddaddy was a disciple of Jesus. So if we need to make disciples, we do that by proclaiming the gospel. We do it by identification, by proclaiming repentance and faith in Christ alone, followed by baptism. Then it must be transformation. Connecting believers with the Bible and with other believers. Now, Jesus was clear about how we make disciples. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's another thing that we have gotten away from as church. We've made making disciples an option. Then we've made being baptized an option. Now, I've been accused of a lot of things. Here's what I've been accused of. I've been accused of telling, people told me, when the pastor says that if you're not baptized, you're not saved. That's not true. You're lying on me if you say I said that. That's not true. I don't believe that. Matter of fact, and also, you have not read our statement of faith that's on our website. It tells you how a person is saved. You are saved by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's it. By the blood of Jesus. That's how you're saved. But what I will not do, I will not apologize for what Jesus said. He says, go and make disciples and do what? Baptize them. I want to apologize for that. He told Christians to be baptized, and you should be baptized. It's not an option. You should be baptized. Jesus got baptized. He didn't need to. John said, hey, you need to baptize me, Jesus. Why am I baptizing you? He said, no, it is right for us to do this to fulfill it. We must do this. So you should be baptized. Because baptism identifies you. It means you go public. You come out the closet. You go public. You say, I am identifying with Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel. And I'm going to let everybody know I'm going to be baptized because I'm going to identify with his death and his resurrection. Yes. Amen. So we don't apologize about that here beyond the walls. You need to be baptized. You should be baptized. And if you haven't, why aren't you being baptized? You're in disobedience to the scriptures. If you are a Christian and you have not been baptized, you have been disobedient to the scriptures. And you need to repent and follow Jesus in baptism. That's what it says. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You identify with him in his death and in his life. Then there's transformation. Look what he says in verse 20. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Go make disciples, baptize them, teach them. Proclaim the gospel, they identify with you, and they are transformed by teaching. I submit to you, point three is this. In order for us to make disciples, we must be in a healthy church community. That's another thing that disciples and the culture have shunned. You know what you said? That the biggest group that's rising in America is the nuns. Not the N-U-N, but the N-O-N-E. I have no religious affiliation. I don't belong to any church, but I'm just spiritual. I don't go to any church, but I'm spiritual. I have a personal relationship with God. I'm spiritual. And if I hear anyone else tell me I don't have to go to church to be a Christian, I think I'm going to scream. Because you cannot read the Bible and don't see the importance of the local church. Most of the letters that was written to local churches, not to one person. It was written to a group of people. As a matter of fact, when you read Revelation chapter, the book, you see seven letters to seven what? Churches, not to individuals. It was to the churches. So you must be in a healthy church community. And many people say, well, I don't want to be in a church. I come if I have to. I'll think about it. I might come. If I'm not too busy, I'll show up. If it's on my calendar, nothing left, I'll show up. We don't want to be that way here. See, I believe in order to be a healthy disciple, you need to be in a healthy church community. Jesus Christ has ordained the church to be the primary context in which disciples are made and the gospel is proclaimed. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You need to be in a local fellowship of believers. If you are a Christian, you need to belong to a church. Because Jesus goes to church. Sunday morning, he's in church. He's here. He shows up. And you need to be here. So you can be taught the word of God. So you can be transformed. So you can be connected with the Bible and with other believers. You show me a Christian that is disconnected from a local body of believers, I will show you a defeated carnal Christian. I'll show you one. That's not living in obedience to God, that's not living in victory, that's living for the world. Because Jesus loves the church. And he has ordained the church as the primary context where discipleship takes place. And the gospel is proclaimed. Not on your sofa, watching ESPN. Church community. So we want to do that. We don't apologize for making church a priority in our lives. My kids know that church is a priority in my life. Going to church is not an option for my children. I don't care how old they get. Again, well, I'm not going to church today. I guess you're not eating today either. But it's a priority in our lives. Because it's been a priority in my life since I was 25. Because I saw what Jesus did in my life. And I want my kids to grow up and say, you know what? When I become a Christian, I mean, when I get my family is going to church. Why? Because that's what my daddy and my mother did. They took our family to church, and so I'm taking mine to church. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want my kids to do that. I want my grandbabies to know Jesus. I want them to know Jesus. And I don't want my kids to have any excuses to say, you didn't take it. Yes, I did. I showed you the way. I told you about Jesus. So what about you? Are you connected? Are you connected to a local church? Do you have a church home that you're a part of? Or are you just a wayward sheep, lost? No church family? Come when you want to. Yeah, when I make time. Man, I'm so glad Jesus doesn't do us like that. He doesn't say, you know, I answer your prayer when I get around to it. I'm kind of busy saving the world, but I get to you in a minute. I'm so glad that when I call upon him, he answers. Anytime, day or night, he's there for me. He's never forsaken me, never left me, always been there for me. Even when I made bad mistakes, Jesus said, I love you. We can work it out. Come to me. We'll work it out. That's good news, isn't it? So we want to be in a healthy church community. So that's why we at Beyond the Walls are so passionate about the gospel, about making disciples. There is nothing else here at Beyond the Walls that would ever overshadow making disciples. That's what we do here. We're not here to entertain. We're here to make disciples. That's what we do here. That's our mission. Nothing would ever overshadow that. So we're going to talk about a couple of things. What is our purpose? Why another church? Why Beyond the Walls? Why come to this school? Why here? What are we doing? What's our purpose? It is to love God, to love people. That's our purpose. To love God and love people. And I submit to you, the greatest love you can have for anybody is to tell a sick person who is dying that there's a cure. I mean, that's the best love you have for anybody. Somebody's dying, and you have the cure, and you don't tell them? Is that love? And you know you have a kid, you don't tell them. That's not love, that's hate. Church, our world is dying. And we have the cure. It's Jesus. And we need to tell them. There's a balm in Gilead. There's a healing for you. It's in Jesus. You want forgiveness? It's in Jesus. You want peace? It's in Jesus. Because we love people. Because God loves people. And we want to love God. We want to love what God loves. So that's our purpose as a church. And that's why we want to be about being connected to a church and to our connection groups. Because it's more than about just coming to church on Sunday. What we have done, we made Sunday it. It's not about Sunday. It's about Christianity as a lifestyle. It's more than a Sunday religion. It's 24/7. It's more than that. So, what is our mission? Simple. What is our mission? Leading people to follow Jesus Christ. And you say, well, where do you get that from? I got it from the Great Commission. See, me, I don't have a mission because it's not my church, it's Jesus' church. I have no right to tell Jesus what the mission of his church is. He's already told me what it is. So who am I to say, well, this is the mission of Beyond the Wall, we're going to do this. No, that's not how it works. Jesus Christ has already told you and I what the mission is, and we are to take orders from him and do what? March. It's to go make disciples, to lead people to follow Jesus Christ. That's our mission. And it came from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. It is biblical. Lead people to follow Jesus Christ. That's what we do. That's our mission. Now you should know that. If you are a member of Beyond the Walls, you should know that. That's our mission. That's your mission. That's my mission. Not the pastor's. It's ours. It's yours. And when you become a member of Beyond the Wall, you should be saying, well, that's my mission. Matter of fact, you should be joining here saying, I'm only joining this church because this church is going to help me carry out the Great Commission. How many of you know most people don't join churches based on their mission? Most people join churches and they ask this question, what can y'all do for me? What type of nursery you have for the kids? What type of music you singing up in here? And please, whatever you do, don't ask me for too much money. What can you guys do for me? I want to get all of you and give you less of me. We call that not church shopping, church. People are church shopping. Let's find the best show in town for the less price. That's called a good deal. I want to get the best thing, cheap as I can. Then I'm going to brag about it. How I got a good deal on this. That's not what we want to do for Christ. You should be saying, this is the mission of Beyond the Walls Community Church, and I want to be equipped to lead people to follow Jesus Christ because that's the mission, that's my mission, that's Jesus' mission. And I want to be equipped to do that. We are a church plant. In case you didn't know, you're about 15 months, 16 months old. We don't have everything that everybody else church has. We want to be who we are. We're trying to act our age. Act your age. We don't have the booming band. We don't have the bouncy houses for the kids. We don't have all that. Silver and gold do we not have. But what we do have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. We have Jesus. We'll give you Jesus. We'll give you that. You will get Jesus here. None that. You will get Jesus. I'm telling you, if you get Jesus, that's all you need. That's all you need. If you get Jesus, that's all you need. We don't want to cater to the consumerism anymore. That has hurt us. We have Christians who are consumers. They church hop, church hop, church hop. Never get staple. Nowhere, never get a chance to sit somewhere, get planted, and grow. They're all over the place. I want to go here. I want to go here. I like it over here. I like it over here. What has God told you to do? So we are a church plant. And we're about leading people to follow Jesus Christ. We have a mission. But we also have a vision. Here's our vision. It's to be a multi-ethnic, multi-generational, gospel-centered body of believers that loves God and loves people. That's what we want to be. They say, where do you get that from? Once again, Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Look what it says in verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That word means all ethnos. Make disciples of all ethnicities. Christianity is not one ethnic group, it's all nations, all ethnicities. We want to make disciples of all nations. That's our vision, to be multi-ethnic. To not be known as, okay, this is a white church or a black church, Hispanic church. No, we are a church of Jesus Christ who loves God. Amen. And all are welcome here because we worship God and we want to look like heaven. Because John said that, I looked in heaven and I saw all tongues, tribes, and nations praising God. I want you to know, in America, we're not doing a good job with that. Our churches are lagging behind in diversity. It says that America is getting more and more diverse, more and more diverse, more and more ethnically diverse. And our churches are lagging behind. It says that 2.5% of all Christian churches are multi-ethnic. Only 2.5% are multi-ethnic. Now let me tell you what I mean when I say multi-ethnic. They'd be different from most people. They believe, okay, our church is multi-ethnic. We have people of different ethnicities coming. They sit here. They hear us. Glad you're here. I don't really mean that. I mean something different than that. I mean multi-ethnic through and through. That your leadership is multi-ethnic. That our vision is to have someone, other pastors who don't look like me. They have a different ethnicity than me. That they're going to be preaching to you. They don't look like me. That they are in leadership positions here at Beyond the Walls. That they are seen on the platform. We have singers. Our worship is multi-ethnic. It's not going to be, well, all gospel or all contemporary or all hymns, all this. No, it's going to be blended. It's not going to be one. We're not going to cater to one ethnicity over another. That's going to happen here. We're not going to do that. Because we believe in heaven's vision. And the church is lagging when it comes to being diverse. We don't have that. And a lot of Christians make up their mind about what church they're going to go to based on, does the person standing up in the pulpit speaking look like me? Ethnicity. Does he look like me? If he doesn't, I'm not going. Because I've already made up in my mind what I'm going to get. You don't know that. We need to understand something. The gospel transcends ethnicity. It transcends culture. We have a different culture, a kingdom culture. That's what we do here. Our vision is God's vision. To be multi-ethnic. And that means multi-generational. Young, old, all of us. Kids, everybody. We have multi-generations here. We want children to be involved in our church. We want adults to be involved in our church. We want everybody, if you are a Christian, to be involved in the ministry of making disciples here. We don't want kids coming to church and say, well, okay, now, no, let them go play somewhere while we focus on Jesus. No, they need to hear the gospel too. So that's why in their classes, they're hearing about Jesus too. But also, let me say this also as a side note. Parents, the primary disciple of your children is you. It's not the church. It's not us. We are here to help you, but you are the primary discipler of your children is you. So, like I said again, we don't have everything here as our vision. We're going to grow. We're going to get more things. But when you tell me, what do you have for my children? I'm going to say, I have you. I have you for your daughter, your son. I have you. And if you get connected to a connection group, you will grow and you will disciple your son, your daughter. You will do that because Jesus requires you to do that. And we will help equip you, but we can't be the primary person. So what's our process? Here's our process here. Simple. It looks more complicated, but it's pretty simple when you look at it. It's all centered on the gospel. Everything centers around the gospel. Remember I said gospel-centered? What's in the center? The Great Commission. That's all we do is the gospel. Everything that we do flows around that. We want people to invite people to come and see. Come and connect. Come and serve. Do that, and so we do by this, by inviting people to come and see how Christians interact with each other and God, how we love God and love one another. Do you know it says that 95% of people who overcome the church does it because someone invited them. Someone invited them. You know somebody, your family, your friends, your coworkers, they'll come because you say, hey, why don't you come to church? They'll show up. But now you got to build trust, and you got to let your light shine. We want you to be equipped to invite people to come and see. Then we want to help people come and connect with God and other Christians in a healthy, vibrant relationship. See, just coming to church is not the end all. We want you to connect with Christ, be born again. Then once you're born again, we want you to connect with God and other Christians in a healthy, vibrant relationship. Now, we wear in this church for a reason. Are you connected? We want to ask you a question. Our sole purpose of how you're going to connect is going to be in our connection groups. That's how you're going to connect. And then once you are connected, we want to empower people to come and serve in ministry teams and in the community. You should be serving here and also serving in the community. If you're here, you should be serving somewhere. Somehow you should be doing something besides sitting, soaking, getting a sermon every Sunday and saying, "Woo, man, that was great stuff." But it all goes like this, and we continue to do it. And we're grabbing people on a journey with us. And all is gospel-centered. It's about the gospel. So come and see. Come and connect. Come and serve. That's our process. It's simple. And we want you to be a part of that. If you are a member of Beyond the Walls, we want you to be a part of this. The mission of making disciples. Because that's what Jesus has left you on earth to do, to make disciples. So that's our process. What's our discipleship too? Glad you asked. Our discipleship tool of how we're going to make disciples is our sermon-based small groups, our connection groups. Discipleship happens in the context of relationships with other believers. You grow not in isolation, you grow in the context of relationships. We have too many individual, super spiritual Christians, just me and Jesus and my Bible. You might want to read that Bible and see what it says about serving one another, praying for one another, encouraging one another, forgiving one another. There's a whole bunch of one another's in there. Not just you and Jesus. So you grow as a Christian when you're connected. So what we do here is we have incorporated, we've talked about this, prayed about this, and the best way we can do that is our sermon-based small groups where we preach on Sunday the sermon. And then we gather throughout the week and we begin to discuss the Word of God in the context of relationships, in the context of community, and also in the context of being in covenant. That's what we do in connection groups. Now, let me say this for you so you understand what I mean by that. When we say about are you connected, you need to be connected to Christ first, to a local church, then to a connection group. So we're going to kick off our groups January the 14th. We'll begin to meet. We're going to sign up today and next week. When we say connect to a small group, what I'm talking about here is those who are members of Beyond the Walls Community Church. If you are a member of Beyond the Walls Community Church, these connection groups are for you. They say, wait a minute now, why only members? Why not me? I come here, why not me? Simple. We believe in local church membership. I believe in that seriously. I believe that the church should be in covenant with one another. Now, I've been reading something, and it really makes sense. I was kind of embarrassed to even read it to you. But since it's biblical, I can read it to you. The reason why I say you need to be a member beyond the walls. Because look what it says in Hebrews chapter 13. I want you to read this, and I was like, wow, this... Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Here's what it says. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who would have to give an account. Let them do so. I said, let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now, what I want to look at is this. What I read for myself is when he says, for those who would have to give an account. I have four people in my family that I am accountable for, not to give account for. My wife and my three children. That's it. They have my last name. I need to give an account for them. Husband, father. I don't want to have to give account for people that I'm not their pastor. God's not holding me accountable to you if I'm not your pastor. I want to be accountable for you to say, hey, no, I'm not your pastor, so I won't be held accountable for you. It says that I have to give an account to those who I watch over your soul. Now, that's biblical. It says that. I have to give an account for your spiritual development over your soul. It says, let them do this with joy. So if you're not a member of the church, I'm not responsible for you. I'm responsible for the people that God has given me to be their pastor. So when we have our connection groups, if a people who say, first of all, I am connected with Jesus Christ, and I am in covenant with Beyond the Walls Community Church, and I submit to the leadership of this church. Because our connection groups is under the authority of Beyond the Walls Community Church. So I can't hold you accountable to being a part of a small group. You say, well, hey, you're not my pastor. Actually, well, you're right about that. You got me on that one. So what I mean by that, we want to be committed. I want to be committed to you, but you got to be committed to Christ and to our church. Now, it does not mean that you can, you can come and visit a small group once, maybe twice, but you cannot be consistently a part of a small group of our church, even a member of our church. Because in our small group, we're going to begin to build relationships. We're going to talk about things that are personal so we can help grow and be a community, and we all focus upon our mission. If you're not a part of our mission, it's going to be hard for you to be really in covenant, talk about what we're trying to do. And that's not being mean. We love you. We our Sunday morning services for anybody can show up. But we put another commitment on our sermon-based small groups because it's a commitment. We want you to be committed to our small groups. And that starts with you going through now. You would say, well, I want to be a part of Beyond the Walls Community Church. Glad you asked that too. We have a discovery class for you that you can come and learn more about us. We have that. Please sign up today, our discovery class. You get to ask questions about who we are, our mission, our vision. You can sign up. Now, for my discovery class, you don't become a member of our church. There's another thing you got to do. We call it our connection class. That's when you then say, okay, I've heard about the church. I prayed about it. I'm going to be a part of the church. I want to connect. Then we say, okay, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, repentance and faith? Have you been baptized in accordance with what the Bible says? And you say, I want to be a part of Beyond the Walls and grow and be equipped to be a disciple, to make disciples. From there, you become a member of our church. And then we say, okay, now we want to be all in covenant, accountable to one another, and making disciples. So it's not about isolating people. We believe in commitment here. We believe in a high level of commitment because you got to be committed to making disciples because Jesus Christ was committed to us. So committed that he gave his life. And we want to give our life to the cause of Jesus. It's worth it. And so when you come and you should be saying, I'm giving my life to the mission of making disciples here beyond the walls, and I'm going to be committed. Pastor, where can I help? I want to be equipped to serve. So that's what we say, are you connected? So if you're not in a small group, and you are a member here, we want you to be in a small group. We encourage you to sign up so you can have joy, strength, have a family, be connected, be accountable, okay? That's our mission and our vision. We want to share that with you this Sunday so you know where we're headed, where we're going. There's truth in advertisement. We want to tell you the truth. This is who we are. No surprises. But we're serious about Jesus. And we love people, and we want you to grow. But we value commitment. We want you to be committed to the church, to Christ. Paul says, you first gave yourself to Christ, then to us. And today, as we close, are you connected to Jesus? Have you repented of your sins and gave Jesus Christ your life? If you haven't, you can today. You can repent of your sins. And you can turn to him. All you got to do is just say, Father, I believe Jesus Christ died for me. And that he rose again from the dead. And because of his death, I have been forgiven of my sins. I turn from living my way and I turn to you. Forgive me for my sins and help me to live for you. Thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you believe that and you...